gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, baby, of course it is. It's Friday, everybody. 6 minutes after the hour. Well, it's not just Friday. It's that kind of Friday.
Indeed, baby. It's Friday with you, saying, darling. I'm going to make like Liam Neeson in Clash of the Titans, and we are releasing the Kraken.
Oh, God.
We are joined all 3 hours in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller by John Fugelsang, comedian extraordinaire.
Good morning, Steph Heads and Mooks. How are you, Chris?
And we will have exciting news in hour number three about an exciting live... Well, it involves a three-way between me and John Fugelsang and Hal Sparks. So we'll talk about that exciting.
Yes, live public three-way.
It's not even simulated. It doesn't involve... It involves bondage, but not simulation. It's the real thing. All right,
Holy cow.
Yeah. Is that teasy enough?
Uh-huh. We're releasing the Kraken for three full hours.
StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, breaking news on the job front this morning, Chris.
162,000 jobs added, according to the
numbers
released.
Good news for America, bad news for Republicans. Uh-oh. Uh-huh. We will talk to Christian Weller, economist extraordinaire.
Socialist jobs.
About that in hour number two today. Oh, and Dan Weiss, senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, he will come on to talk about the drilling and all of that.
Yes.
He's a fancy, what do you call it?
Environmental guy. He's a climate guy.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Fancy climate guy. We have fancy economy guy and fancy climate guy on.
Yes.
Ooh.
Today.
We're chock full of fancy.
Exactly. Both of which I am totally underqualified to interview, but, you know, I always pull it out of my ass.
Well, and if you're unqualified enough, you can get your own talk show on Fox News.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen.
Did you watch? Did you watch any?
We'll get to that in a moment. I did not watch the, darn the luck, I missed the Caribou Barbie special, but...
I wonder how Greta Van Susteren felt about being preempted by Sarah Palin.
By Caribou Barbie?
Yeah.
I'm sure she was fine with it.
I think Greta knows she has a bit more job security.
Yeah. Mama was on the Ed Show on MSNBC last night. That's up on the YouTube section of StephanieMiller.com.
Yep, in the video section, just scroll down on the very front home page, and you'll see it right down there.
Thanks to Shano, who, by the way, told you an unsolicited testimonial to the terrifying power and reach of the Stephanie Miller Show.
That is correct. He was on the phone with his web hosting company.
Yes.
For his website, shane-o.com.
Yes.
And he told the woman on the other end the name of his website, and she was like, Shano? As in Shano from the Stephanie Miller Show?
And what happened? The seas parted... Magically, discounts appeared.
He got a discount on his services.
You see what I'm saying? All right.
Very nice. We love Shano.
We love us some Shano. Thank you, Shano. Enjoy the many fringe benefits of the Stephanie Miller Show.
The internet.
Have any of those materialized for you yet, John?
With Shano? No. No, I got no love.
All right.
No love. I was given a free P90SX box. I was given an empty box of a P90X.
You have access to my box.
That's
every
my
time
swag.
You, every time you come in here.
Oh, indeed I do.
Shano is the creator of your jingle, though.
So, yes, he is. We want to give him props for that.
Yes.
Thank you. All right. John and I were talking about sometimes when you go on the live cable news shows, you know, like you have your big closer, your big joke for the end.
You got this great Jesse James and Nazi joke you're going to finish on.
Yeah, and then they don't have time for that. And so you basically do the setup, and then they're like, okay, Stephanie, thanks for coming.
Yes, we enjoyed your premise.
Oh.
And we'll have to leave it there.
What
do you want to know? Oh, do you want to know? Thanks for asking, John.
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, we were going to talk about Tiger Woods because we did this yesterday, Chris. You know, his latest mistress. There was way too much information.
The
bottom line is they had a sex in a parking lot next to his Cadillac Escalade. And I was going to say, and that is morally and in every way disgusting. I mean, who still drives an SUV in this economy?
It's
no
horrible.
Wonder we have to drill.
I feel so bad for Ellen.
Perhaps it was best there was no time for that. That's why Tiger, that's a part of Tiger's drilling plan, too. But, you know, that's morally repulsive that he drives in a...
I think it's more repulsive that he was in a Perkins parking lot.
His wife was like, I don't even know you. An Escalade?
And just when you thought nothing was stupider than leaving a phone message. on someone's machine. Well, that seems like a wise idea when you're one of the most famous people in the world. Why don't I just see if I can... someone in a parking lot.
If we're lucky, there'll be security cameras. That said, there are people who work for the Huffington Post and TMZ who are now praying to God Easter weekend for a Tiger Woods Jesse James skank crossover. There's people that praying that there's some overlap.
Oh, wouldn't that be something? All right. No, so anyway, you watched the Sarah Palin?
I did, yeah, and you'll be happy to know there is actually a broadcaster out there who does less show prep than you.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
The good news is she didn't get bored and quit halfway through, and I was very happy
that
about that.
That would have been a benefit, I think.
We had an office pool going on that one. No, it was okay. I mean, Sarah reads prompter fine. She didn't need to look at her hand. She's actually quite good on camera, I think, and she could do this more, but she's going to have to get a bit more relaxed. I actually felt bad for Sarah. She was very, very nervous, wasn't in the zone at all, and it was really just pre-produced segments other people did. Sarah would read a host rap and a voiceover, and then they'd bring people out, and she would do a very nervous, rushed interview, and it was all edited together, like the thing had more cuts than the cast The Girl Interrupted. I mean, it was just chop, 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 chop.
Ladies and Flavins.
So, yeah, it was a big flop.
Well, I think it's bad when, like, well, LL Cool J, and then did you see Chris Toby Keith, too?
Yeah, I mentioned that yesterday.
Complain, like, they didn't. She didn't actually interview them. They used footage from some other time.
From like a year and a half or 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Cool J was like a three-year-old interview.
Yeah. You know it's embarrassing when you don't want to actually be seen with the host. They have to actually use... Yeah. Well, with LL Cool J's case, if you know, I think she's never actually, you know, like met a black person. So I think if you had to include a black person, she didn't want to have to actually talk to one. So that was a way to seem inclusive without her actually having to, you know...
She needs love.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I hadn't heard that. Chris, you mentioned it, but I hadn't heard LL Cool J.
Right.
They cut him because he said, I didn't, but Toby Keith also, his publicist said, they asked if he was ever interviewed by Ms. Palin, and he said, absolutely not.
Right. Mm. And Toby Keith is a registered Democrat, so I don't know that he was too happy about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we know how progressive his values are.
That's a bad sign. Here's a fun fact. I'm not actually even talking to John Fugelsang live right now. He's too embarrassed. This is from something entirely different many years ago.
Please.
What?
What? No, it was actually interesting. I don't know how much longer Sarah's going to do shows like this, because you could really tell she did no preparation at all. She showed up, read her script, and at one point they had her with a bunch of young African-American students who were getting their school was helped because of a generous grant from the private sector, because her whole point of it was...
She wasn't talking to black students. They were green screened in, right?
Oh, no. She talked to this one little girl, and the girl said, she said, what's your name? She goes, my name's Hennessy, which was funny. Sarah didn't find that funny, and then she said, well, and what do you want to be? You want to go to college? She goes, yes, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a lawyer. Really? That's wonderful. She goes, yes, because I want to be a defense lawyer and help people. She goes, well, that's wonderful. Who's this next to you?
Nice,
and brush the kid off. Brush the kid off. You want to help the guilty and the accused? Well,
let's
we don't
on.
Have time for that.
Trial lawyers suck. All right, let's move on.
She's going back to Juno, back to Juno, back to Juno.
By the way, there is, I have no idea if there's Jesse James intersection. But there is more Tiger Woods mistress information.
Oh, God.
He paid mistress number one, Rachel Uchitel?
Uchitel.
Sure.
Uchitel. Is that, yeah.
Uchitel.
$10 million to stop her from going through with a tell-all press conference. He was so concerned, reportedly, with the depth and detail of information that they offered $10 million.
Wow.
$10 million.
The report is that several mistresses got several hundred thousand dollars and others got nothing, which... would lead one to think, what does Rachel know exactly?
Oh,
considering
dear.
It was superficial rights, considering it was pretty much a given Tiger was harpooning porn stars any chance he could get, the sex with Rachel must have been the most deviant ever if he paid $10 billion to keep it quiet. We thought yesterday's story was a little bit freaky, Chris, but Rachel might know some even freakier stuff about Tiger getting his freak on.
Could be.
Mm-hmm.
For $10 million, I'll do it with Tiger Woods. With my wife in the room watching, with a camera on YouTube. For $5 million, I would do it.
Oh, that's really big of you.
Hey, you know what? I'm here to help.
You're a giver.
Yeah. Yes. Well, if for $10 million, yes, I would.
Madonna and her Brazilian boy toy.
Jesus Luz.
Still don't know where I get one of those. Jesus Luz.
Jesus
Luz. What, 22? Something.
Yes. Yes.
She had dinner with Jesus and Gwyneth Paltrow and Stella McCartney in London.
It's Jesus. It's Portuguese, not Spanish.
See, that's why I can't get one, because
exactly.
I can't pronounce Brazilian boy toy models' names even. Earlier this week, Madonna admitted she wanted her eldest daughter, Lourdes, to dress more conservatively. Oh, that's funny.
That's great.
That's funny.
Yeah, like millions of parents before Madonna came along.
That's
yeah.
funny. That's funny. Oh, boy.
Oh, that karma door swings
two ways. What does conservatively mean in that
it?
Household? No nipple cones? No, I don't know.
Yeah, conservative means you can't see Mama's book of sex photos till you're 20.
Oh, boy. Lindsay Lohan and her dad took their feud onto Twitter because that's where all family arguments involving drug rehab should take place, according to Superficial. Yeah, that's, Chris, you know Mama just with the new technology. Yesterday,
not so much.
We had to hear the details about the tampon and the, with the Tiger Woods mistress and what, the entire society is playing in a game of way too much information.
Yeah, she's giving train wrecks a bad name.
Yeah.
I'm so nervous when the Lindsay Lohan reality show is going to happen because I'm afraid that's the next career step. You know, this poor kid, Robert Altman put her in a movie, you know?
That's
and
right.
She had it. She had everything, and then she just had to
she
go.
She was actually good in that movie.
Yeah, she was, but, you know.
Yeah.
Cocaine's fun.
Yeah, I mean, fighting with your family, though, on Twitter, that's what Thanksgiving's for God's sakes.
Thank you, Steph. Thank you.
You very much. Thank you. That's what I... listen, I do that with my Republican relative. That should be confined once a year behind closed doors.
Yeah, but you're not lucky enough to have a dad like Michael Lohan.
Yeah. Plus, kids these days don't want to be face-to-face. They just, you know...
No,
why fight in person when you can do it on Twitter?
Exactly. You know, in one of my crotchety old woman rants, I said that a lot of these damn kids are teenagers. They're texting each other while they're just sitting right there. Why don't you just turn around and talk to the person next to you? Why are you texting? She's right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
What happened to Penny Whistle and Moon Pies?
Exactly. What happened to Moon Pies? All right.
Oh, my God.
You know, 19 minutes after the hour, right back with more Fridays with
Bugle
Thing on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a beautiful miracle of nature.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We will talk about gay bashing. It's all the rage again. Who knew? So
really?
Yes. Well, we'll get to all of that.
I thought we'd move beyond that.
No.
Oh, no.
No.
Chris.
No. Everything old is new again.
Next to Arabs, it's the last group we're allowed to hate.
And fat people.
Well...
All right. By the by, Susan Sarandon, who split from Tim Robbins in December after 23 years together, is finding the latest stage in her life terrifying and exhilarating. She's, by the way, and it says here in the story, she's been romantically linked with her business partner, Jonathan Bricklin, whom Mama met a couple of weeks ago at their ping pong club here in New York. And he's very young, may I just say. There were still mittens attached to his coat. And I say, rock on, my sister.
She is in a new movie that...
Did you not think I was going to get to that segue?
I got the email yesterday, so make sure you talk about this. Okay.
Yeah, she is in a new movie.
Let's just do an unsolicited testimonial, which has nothing to do with the guy that owns the show that's trying to kill me for the insurance money. Can I have my unsolicited testimonial music, please? Why, Susan Sarandon is in a fabulous new film with Pierce Brosnan and Carey Mulligan.
Carey Mulligan, recent Best Actress Oscar nominee?
Why, yes, John Fugelsang. And that is brought to you by the guy who owns the Stephanie Miller Show who's trying to kill me for the life insurance money, who is also a movie producer.
Who knew?
This is Stephanie Miller Show, just his little hobby.
Can he get you a part in his latest epic?
Why am I not in this?
Yes.
It's called The Greatest, and it apparently is a fabulous new movie. Did I mention starring Susan Sarandon and Pierce Brosnan? The Greatest. It opens tomorrow, April 2nd.
Today
Please
is
check
April
it out
2nd.
This weekend, won't you?
Today is April 2nd.
So that so the guy that owns the show doesn't have to kill me for the life insurance money. Please. Send Daddy a little movie scratch so that Mama can live.
Yeah, go All see right. it. I'm excited. Fine-looking woman, by the way, that Susan Sarandon. That's a 63, lucky...
63! And
she's gorgeous.
Dating not even a zygote. What's the thing before that?
A gleam in someone's eye?
Yes, exactly. Like a toothpaste commercial.
Indeed. She lives in my neighborhood. I see her. She looks fine.
Well,
does she look like she could star in the remake of Rocky Horror Picture Show?
She looks like she could be in a better film than Rocky Horror Picture Show. Although I will
say
she doesn't disown it.
That's the best pitch I've ever done, isn't it, Chris?
What?
Please go see this so I don't have to die. Please, I want to live. If you want Mama to live, go see The Greatest this weekend. All right.
That's right. If Steph's boss makes money off this movie, Steph doesn't have to sell bone marrow this Labor Day.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Please help me. I want to live. Okay. My most pathetic pitch ever.
Yeah.
All right.
Do they release a Kraken in that film? Because maybe I might bypass Liam Neeson as Zeus to go see The Greatest.
Oh, my God. Is Liam Neeson playing Zeus in Clash of the Titans?
I assume. Well, Olivier played it in the original,
right? I know.
Right?
Yeah.
I want to know, how is it possible Clash of the Titans 2010 has cheesier effects than 1982?
And they were pretty damn cheesy back then.
How is this possible?
Release the Kraken.
That's my marital code word for it's time for sex, by the way.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, we're releasing the Kraken tonight. Night, baby.
That was more than I needed, a peak more than I needed into the Fugle Sang household.
Releasing the Kraken is like jumping the shark.
Let me make this magical segue between celebrity stack into the gay bashing news of the day.
All right.
True Blood star Anna Paquin has revealed that she is a bisexual.
Really? Good
for her. She is engaged to True Blood co-star Stephen Moyer. Mm-hmm. She recently
Suki.
She recently made the revelation during a secret recording, not so secret anymore.
No.
Of a PSA on behalf of True Colors, an organization dedicated to fighting for equal rights for all, regardless of their sexuality.
Wow.
Her husband-to-be is like, okay, boy howdy. let's go.
She carries that show, by the way.
That is a really, really good show.
She carries that show.
Okay.
That show has more characters than the Bible.
Yes.
All right. Where do we start with the gay bashing stories? So, reversing course, Army Secretary John McHugh warned soldiers yesterday that they can still be discharged for acknowledging they are gay, saying he misspoke earlier this week when he suggested the military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy had been temporarily suspended. So gay bashing still in the Army and also in the Catholic Church pedophile crisis.
Oh,
if you listen to, what's that big blowhole's name?
Donahue.
Bill Donahue of the Catholic League, who on CNN yesterday was talking about how it's a crisis of homosexuality, not pedophilia. We'll get into all of that.
Oh, we will get into that.
And talk to Dan Weiss from the Center for American Progress about drilling, not that kind, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I can spice you under the table any day there, sweet thing.
Why, thank you. How kind. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. John Fugle saying, are you coming to my little cocktail party tomorrow?
I hope to make it to your little cocktail party tomorrow.
I have, Chris, I decided to have a last-minute little cocktail party.
Mm-hmm.
And as it turns out, most people have lives of some sort and plans, and so I think it may be just me and John and the guy that owns the show is trying to get
I'm hoping I can make it. That's the problem with those last-minute cocktail parties.
Yeah. You need to plan these things a little more in advance.
It may be a sad little party. Just me and a couple of Cheez-Its.
I was planning on spending the weekend teaching the story of Jesus to children by talking about imaginary bunnies, so I don't know if I'll be free.
Oh, and Stephanie?
Yes?
You need to have friends in order to have a cocktail party.
Oh.
Yeah. Let's know how that works out on Monday.
Oh, no.
Listen to Mr. Popular.
I was making an effort to make friends. But it'll just me be there with a lone balloon. All right.
None of your high-powered liberal elite media friends are going to be able to make it?
Yeah, I invited them. And
It turns out.
No.
Compute says no.
All right. Yeah, a couple. It might be just me and a couple liberal media elite. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Kids.
You only invited me, Wednesday.
I know. Who knew? Who knew you're supposed to plan in advance?
People go out of town for Easter.
Really?
Yeah,
I don't
it's
know.
A 3-day weekend out there on the East Coast.
Yeah. Oh well. Okay. All right. It'll just be me gnawing cheese without utensils like normal, drinking my box wine.
Don't get me wrong. I'm bringing friends, but not. But when you're out of town, I'll be at your place.
Okay. All right. Dan Weiss is the senior fellow at the Center for American Progress. He can talk about the offshore drilling decision like nobody's business, and that's why we invited him on this morning. Dan, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Stephanie, and I would be honored to come to your cocktail party.
Thank you, Dan. And we've only just met this moment, so you're my new best friend. So, Dan, I mean, a lot of discussion about the politics of this, and what is your take on it, just a big picture?
Well, first of all, it's important to note that protection for our coasts from oil drilling ended in 2008 under President Bush because President Bush wanted it to end. So that what President Obama is proposing is to actually add protection to areas that otherwise would have been unprotected. And, you know, we're protecting the East Coast from New Jersey north, protecting the entire West Coast, parts of the Florida coast, parts of Alaska. So this is actually adding protection, not taking it away. Second, President Obama, like it or not, did say that he would support some offshore oil drilling during the campaign. And
right. Well, that's the thing, Dan, is everybody politically rushes to go, he's flip-flopping. And I'm going, no, I seem to remember him talking about this. But, yeah, go ahead.
That's right. And, you know, one of the things he did that got a lot less attention because, as you know, the media prefers conflict rather than solutions, is that yesterday he finalized new clean car standards that will make sure the cars go about one-third more than currently on a gallon of gas, which will save 1.8 billion barrels of oil and will save more oil than will be produced offshore, at least in the short run.
Right.
That's a pretty big step, but, of course, the media's focused much more on the offshore oil drilling piece.
Well, once again, Dan, it seems like, again, you know, there's the theory that he's playing chess instead of checkers and that he's going to, you know, this is, look at health care. I mean, there's obviously been screaming on the left and the right, and we got that done, and maybe it's a good start. So what is your take? I mean, because obviously some of what the right is screaming about, that he's not really going to end up doing the drilling, but it'll get clean energy, the clean energy bill passed, to me, I'm like, oh, well, good. What's your take on that?
Well, you know, a lot of conservatives won't take yes for an answer. They're complaining that, oh, well, he doesn't really mean it, there's going to be all these other roadblocks, et cetera, et cetera. What he's done is he said all along that he supports an all-of-the-above approach to energy, which is where the American people are. That includes things that some of us may not be that thrilled with, like nuclear power and offshore oil drilling, but also includes putting a real price on carbon pollution, using the revenues from that to invest in clean energy, and moving forward on global warming. Now, those conservatives who said that they favored an all-of-the-above approach, it's put up or shut up time because he's going to move forward on all of the above and they have to come through. And it's interesting because people like Newt Gingrich, who did talk about the all of the above approach, are now attacking him for not doing enough on offshore oil drilling.
Well, that goes to the argument, Dan, that everybody says, look, how much is he going to keep reaching out? He is never going to get them to go along on anything. Of course, predictably yesterday, Caribou Barbie blasted Obama's oil drilling decision as stall, baby, stall. She's so clever, isn't she, with the bon mots?
Shill, baby, shill.
She said it's a little more than a cover for enactment of climate legislation, to which, once again, I say, good. She urged Republicans not to take the bait. She said the president says he'll consider potential areas for development while studying, blah, blah, blah. I've seen plenty of such studies. What we need is action.
Well,
don't study. Studying is French and gay, I think, is her point.
I would ask Sarah Palin, how is that melting state thing working out for you? You know, Alaska is on the front lines of global warming. They're going to have to spend millions and millions of dollars to move whole villages because they're thawing. The ability to drill for oil in Alaska has been cut in half because of the warming of the state. And yet here she is opposing efforts to protect her own state. Seems kind of silly if you ask me.
Yep.
We'll see what happens with Senator Murkowski of Alaska, who, you know, is very she's somewhat supportive of Obama's move on drilling, but has yet to support reducing the global warming pollution that is causing our own state to melt.
Yeah, I know. Well, she hasn't noticed because she quit, if you didn't notice. you know, I mean, that's the thing. It's just when you have, you know, something that is just like science, people like her shouldn't be allowed to just say stuff on TV. I mean, she's never challenged on the kind of stuff she says, you know?
It is. Well, she's only put herself, Palin has only put herself in forums that are designed to be friendly because she doesn't want to go in any forum where there might be a pop quiz.
Yeah, well, that's why she wouldn't debate Al Gore, because he might bring, you know, pesky facts and things and make her look bad. Anyway, Dan, thank you so much for checking in on us. I'm sure this, you know, we'll talk again as this debate continues on the drilling. But thank you so much.
And should I bring anything on Saturday?
Yes, bring a hot dish and a big box of wine.
Okay, thank you, Stephanie.
All right, thank you, Dan. There he goes, Dan Wise.
Oh boy.
Dan's right, though, you know. I mean, it's like they say in the AA rooms, progress, not perfection. And there's a lot of good that's going to come from this drilling plan. And by the way, this guy's whole MO is Chicago politics, the quid pro quo, the compromise. We saw that in healthcare. So much good is going to come from this that there'll be so many green initiatives implemented before they even begin drilling years from
now. Well, right. That's what Caribou Barbie's talking about is the studies, which, as I said, that's French and gay. It involves scientists and facts and... whatever.
The Republicans plan, by the way, for low gas prices. Any oil that washes up on the coast of Virginia, you can keep.
All right. Speaking of not French but gay, let's get
please
to the gay stack for today.
Do you dare?
Gay bashing. It's everything old is new again.
We need
gay bash USA.
Yes. We need gay music for it. Hold on.
Oh, all right. Pardon me.
Sorry.
My bad. Go ahead.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm. So... what do you call it? Reversing course, as I mentioned, Army Secretary John McHugh warned soldiers that they can still be discharged for acknowledging they were gay. He misspoke when he implied any sort of tolerance or diversity that might have been creeping into the military by accident.
Yes. Don't be deceived. It's still homophobic.
Yes.
Yes. We're going to repeal it, but not
yet. Tell me if this makes any sense. The Pentagon has said it wants to hear from gay troops as it conducts a broad study on how it could lift the ban. But to do that, gay service members, of course, would have to break the law, which prohibits them from discussing their... I mean, how ridiculous is all of this?
You know, what a bunch of pansies we have, these straight men in the military.
No.
I'm sorry. What a bunch of limp-wristed wussies we have in... Israel has gay troops. The British have gay troops. What are we afraid of? Really, gentlemen.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, we've got this other controversy in the Catholic Church, and it's just like clockwork, this Catholic League blowhole that I've had to debate on CNN, Bill Donahue, is out there saying this is a crisis of homosexuality, not of pedophilia.
Absolutely disgusting. You know, here's the thing, these whiny Catholics, every time the Pope protects child rapists and the media calls them on it, and you've always got the Bill Donahue's coming out saying, this is anti-Catholic persecution, anti-Catholic. You know what? When Christ himself was being persecuted this very day, Good Friday, he didn't whine about it, and he didn't try to place blame, and he also wasn't guilty of protecting pedophiles. Jesus didn't play victim. These guys do.
But, you know, how offensive is this? I mean, this scandal, it's all over the world. It's millions of little boys, and he's trying to make it sound like, oh, it's like consensual sex because they're, you know, pubescent or what, you know what I mean?
Exactly. It's disgusting. And I could talk about this for days, but here's the latest hack of the Vatican, and this really began under Benedict when he first took over.
Right.
He's trying to blame it on gay priests. Folks, here's the truth. Gay priests aren't the ones playing with little boys. Gay priests have boyfriends. They're quiet about it.
Right.
They do it. It's not a big deal. It is the heterosexual priests who do it. And this is across the boards. You look in any study that keeps records about pedophilia, the overwhelming majority of pederasts are heterosexual males.
Yep.
Men who identify that way. And this is all due to the insane celibacy rule in the church.
Thank you. That's what that's what I've been saying. If you want to have no sex of any kind, get a radio show.
Now,
you don't need to join the...
And if you're a conservative Christian, you believe in married priests, because that's the conservative point of view. The first Pope, St. Peter, was married. All the priests and bishops and popes for hundreds of years, and it wasn't until 1139 AD when Pope Innocent II made celibacy the law, not because Jesus was a bachelor, not because sex was bad, but because the church church didn't want priests and popes and bishops leaving their land and wealth to their children.
Chris, we have stumbled into John Fugelsang's speciality as both his parents were clergy.
Way before Da Vinci Code, folks. Way before Da Vinci Code.
All right. 45 minutes after the hour, back with more on this debate as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
A perpetual motion machine, endlessly satisfying every human need.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Scare me when you're not there. Ten seconds before.
Yes, let me take you behind the scenes of the Stephanie Miller Show here in New York. Here are the fun facts of what's happening. John Fugelsang and I have been doing show prep and discussing the finer points of the issues that we will then present on the air now. John, we've been searching for something big enough to cook my oatmeal in. As you know, it's quite a thing every time I try to cook oatmeal. There's been a lot of mishaps here.
Why don't you bring a bowl?
That would involve some forethought.
Okay.
So John Fugelsang, he stole a mug from somebody, and we've been... It's like a science experiment. We're having like a science fair here.
It really is Mr. Wizard's World with oatmeal.
Yeah. We need Bill Nye here. We're in front of... It's like an experiment, how long it can be in before overflowing, if I put the right amount of oatmeal in, you know.
She needed a really big vessel. She needed a Kirstie Alley-sized vessel for her oatmeal, because you know, she has to have.
Yeah, because it boils over. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's fine. I think it may end up fine. We're not really sure yet.
How come I don't have this much trouble making my oatmeal every day?
I'm domestically impaired.
Oh, that's it.
All right, so... John's just like, I think we're back on the air. I'm like, oh, really? Okay.
What?
I guess I better... All right.
That's what they told Sarah Palin.
Hey!
Hey. All right, so we've been talking about the scandal in the Catholic Church, it's odious, but it's completely outdated that anybody would be saying this is a crisis of homosexuality. It literally is like calling all homosexuals pedophiles.
Well, it's pathetic, especially when you consider how many gay priests there really are.
Yeah, the Conservative Catholic League placed a full-page ad in the New York Times, that was this week, that claimed the sexual abuse scandal currently roiling the Catholic Church is a crisis of homosexuality, not pedophilia. On CNN yesterday, Catholic League President William Donahue defended the assertion by pointing to a study. Oh, they always have one of those. Hmm. Is that the one done, Chris, by GodHatesFags.com?
Probably.
That study?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing the facts you find at GodHatesFags.com.
Oh, this must be by the people who do the dental studies about which 3 out of 4 dentists. He pointed to a study that 3 out of every 4 of the male victims of sexual abuse by Catholic priests were post-pubescent, meaning it's homosexuality-driven.
Right, even though they're below age of consent.
He then asserted that there's a connection between homosexuality and sexual abuse of minors. Oh, and he went on to use himself as an example. He is Irish, and he said that there do tend to be more Irish alcoholics. There's a connection between Irish and alcoholism, and yes, there's a connection between homosexuality and the sexual abuse of minors.
Yeah, this is an insult to God, folks. I don't even know where to begin with this. Now, this is more of a Roman problem than a gay problem. Back when Christ was alive, the Romans would go on the road when they'd go on battle and be deployed overseas, and they would leave their wives at home and bring their young boys with them. This is a long, proud Roman tradition that the Vatican hasn't totally let go of. One of the reasons Martin Luther quit the church was because of the papal indulgences, but also because he was so offended by the massive boy orgies that were going on. Right. This is systemic. This is historical. This is a Vatican problem. Let me get this straight, Father. If I touch my wee-wee, it's a mortal sin and I go to hell. But if you touch it, it's a tragic mistake and you go to a new parish.
Exactly.
These are the people that taught me shame. And here they are. Yeah. It's incredible.
I mean, I've been sort of joking about, gay bashing, it's all the rage, or it's everything old is new again. But I'm going, what, haven't we made, just when you think we've made progress on this, you know, there's this story. And then there's this tweet, did you hear in, what do you call it, Oklahoma? I mean, unintentionally hilarious. In October, of course, President Obama signed the Matthew Shepard Act, expanding the reach of the 1969 hate crimes law to authorize the Department of Justice to investigate and prosecute certain biased-motivated crimes based on a victim's sexual orientation, gender identity, or disability. So state lawmakers in Oklahoma argued the Shepard Act would trample on the free speech rights of religious leaders who preached against the lifestyle of the victim, who was attacked. On March 10th, the Oklahoma State Senate thought it was passing a bill prohibiting local and state law enforcement agencies from sharing information about hate crimes with federal authorities if the state of Oklahoma didn't recognize the crime as a hate crime by its own statutes. So Oklahoma, because it doesn't recognize sexual orientation as a special class. So so in trying to strip gays and lesbians of protection, the Oklahoma State Senate inadvertently cited the wrong section of the U.S. Code. Section 245 of the code refers to race and religious protections. Therefore, Oklahoma actually passed a statute allowing the state law enforcement officials to keep information about crimes motivated by race or religion out of the hands of federal authorities.
Wow.
So they have allowed people to discriminate against the Christian conservatives that really meant to discriminate against gay people, which is unintentionally.
That's hysterical.
See, that's what happens when you start deciding which groups to take rights away from. It's, oh, but you might be next. And then
As the white kids like to say, hate is be hating. And here's the thing. Let's go beyond the law. They don't have any right to preach against gays from the pulpit, because if you really believe the part of the Bible that says you have to kill gay people, then you got to believe every part of that chapter, and you have to kill children who are gluttons or drunks. Goodbye, Bush twins. You got to kill people who tattoo the flesh. Goodbye, Marine Corps.
All those Huckabee kids are...
People who work on the Sabbath. So long, well, the post office is going to just clear themselves just in time.
Right.
You have to kill adulterers if you believe the part of Leviticus, and you have to kill people who get divorced and remarried, because that's adultery too.
Yeah. The Senate Minority Leader in Oklahoma said the bill in its current form doesn't take away rights from gays and lesbians. It takes away rights from religion and race. He said gay and lesbian citizens should be upset because someone tried to take their rights away, but minority groups should be concerned that their rights have already been voted to be taken away by the Senate. People who consider themselves Jewish, black, even Christians should be outraged. The bill will likely be modified before it's voted on in the House. But, I mean, it's just, it's a perfect story about, you know...
They keep looking for spiritual cover for hate, and that's all it is. There's no biblical justification for homophobia. It's an insult to God.
Right, be careful who you think it's okay to discriminate against. Your group may be next.
Every civilization that's ever kept records has documented gay people, right? Now, sane people look at that and say, oh, apparently being gay is natural and occurs everywhere. These people look at that and say, conspiracy.
Yeah. Here's the other unintentionally hilarious story in the gay bashing stack. Tony Perkins?
Mm.
No, blood, mother, blood. Okay, Jim's not here yet.
mother! Oh, God! Mother!
Not
mother!
That guy. Not that one.
No,
he's the head of the Family Research Council.
Of course.
He's urging members to stop giving money to the RNC and give directly to candidates you know reflect your values.
Oh, yeah.
It comes 2 days after it was disclosed that the RNC spent nearly $2,000 at the Lesbian Bondage Club near Los Angeles. And by the way, so what he means is their values are, you know, closeted gay guys that will vote for against gay rights for 20 to 30 years. That's their values, not...
They don't want
gay sex. They want the kind that engage in the real sex, but they vote against...
Exactly.
Other people.
Or war against third world brown people. That's where the money should be going.
Yes.
Can we at least give Michael Steele credit, though, folks, for being able to find a heterosexual sex club in West Hollywood? I think it's a real progressive thing he did.
I had props.
Guy doesn't get enough credit.
Yeah, that's the big thing coming out of that story.
I haven't seen a black man enjoy bondage this much since Gone with the Wind.
Tony Perkins said the latest incident is another indication to me the RNC is completely tone deaf to the values and concerns of a large number of people they're seeking financial support from. And that's exactly what he means. Their values are, we don't care if you're having actual gay sex, not simulating, as long as you vote against equal rights for other gay people.
Republicans are
that's our values.
Republicans are like strippers. They're both paid to pretend to care about working class men.
58 minutes after the hour, back with economist Christian Weller and more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, baby, it is The Stephanie Miller Show. It is all 3 hours of Fridays with John Fugelsang here in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller.
We are releasing the Kraken all morning long.
In 3D, no less.
The man meet in Los Angeles, of course, executive producer Chris LaVoy, and voice deity Jim Ward.
And my Kraken.
Exactly. You can email us all at stephaniemiller.com. Check out Mama on the Ed Show last night on MSNBC. That's up on the YouTube's section.
He loves you.
I loves me some Ed. By the way, he and Wendy will not be at my sad little cocktail party that I planned at the last minute of Saturday. They're already in Minnesota. and somebody on the live blog already said that they picture my cocktail party being like Rick, what's his name?
Rick Moranis' party in Ghostbusters.
Yeah, I think that's going to be true.
There's
it's
actually
a, sad,
a lot more
sad little party.
There's a lot there. More blow-up dolls at your parties than at Rick Moranis'.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Jim, we were mentioning Tony Perkins before the break.
No, mother, blood, no, no.
No,
there we go.
I'm not wrong.
No.
Norman, you've been a bad boy.
Mm. No, the Family Research Council guy.
The much scarier.
Oh, yes. Mother, three sequels, why?
There's a second part to the gay bashing story with Tony Perkins. So not only does he want you to stop giving money to the RNC because he doesn't approve of simulated lesbian sex, he wants, as I mentioned, he wants people that have real gay sex, but they discriminate against other people that do.
Right.
That's the kind of values that he's talking about.
What's wrong with that? Socialist.
However, he also lamented that the RNC had hired super lawyer Ted Olson to represent them in a campaign finance case. He says, yes, this is the same Ted Olson that's trying to overturn the results of the marriage amendment in California. The outcome of Olson's challenge to Prop 8 goes far beyond nullifying the votes of nearly 7 million voters in California. His efforts could lead to the overturning of amendments and laws in all 45 states that currently define marriage as the union of one man and one woman.
Good.
Yes. It could accidentally lead to some sort of tolerance and
where to begin?
Equal rights of some sort. And
where to begin? Ted Olson, it was Bush's lawyer. He was the Solicitor General, and he was Bush's lawyer. His wife, Barbara, who I worked with a few times, was killed on 9/11
when the
plane hit the Pentagon. And now, because he believes, as many conservatives should, that this is the government shouldn't be interfering in your personal life and gays should be allowed to get married, they're cutting him loose. He's no longer in the Republican
I know.
Club.
Unbelievable. All right. Chris, we mentioned the breaking news earlier. Good news on the job front.
Yes, 162,000 jobs added, according to the report released today.
That just proves that Obama's not producing any jobs. Hell no, you can't!
Yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did, Jimmy. Already did.
Hell no, you can't!
Yes, he did. I did it already. Too late. All right. And that's why I had Christian Weller, economist extraordinaire, standing by on the bat phone. Good morning, Christian.
Good morning, Stephanie. You guys seem to be having a lot of fun.
Hell no, we are!
We'll get over it.
It's Frisky Friday. Welcome to it, Christian. So, what's your take on, you know, Ali Velshi, the, CNN financial guy, was just on, was it yesterday, Chris? But he was also saying... You know, there have been already some hopeful signs. So, you know, this is yet more good news, even though it may not feel like it yet in the economy, right?
There are good news. Never thought I'm going to cite Ali Velshi as an economic expert. But
he's not an expert like you are. He's a TV guy. But you know what I'm saying, Christian.
No. He is right.
I trust him on this.
If you look at today's numbers, I mean, there's pages and pages and pages. But in the end, what it says is we really seem to have moved into real job growth territory. We've been toying with it for a number of months, but in March we really were there. We created 162,000 jobs. Even if you say all of the government, federal government jobs that were created in that month were due to the census, you're still ending up with well over 100,000 jobs created. And you see this in areas that have been trouble spots. We're adding jobs in construction. We're adding jobs in manufacturing. And so that's clearly we're adding jobs in retail. People are going shopping again. So there clearly is a broad-based growth in jobs, and that really points towards the future, which means because it's broad-based, it probably will last for quite some time, especially if you look at the manufacturing numbers. The manufacturing sector has been struggling for years and years and years, but now it's adding jobs, and it's largely adding jobs in what is called durable goods manufacturing. That is cars and heavy machinery and stuff like that. The reason why that is good news is it basically says that other businesses are buying machinery and investing, and they're creating jobs in the manufacturing sector, but they also then have to create jobs in their own sectors to hire people to use that machinery. So that ultimately means that we're going to see continued months of job growth in the future.
What now, Christian, John and I were talking during the break about why, when you have good news like this, when you add jobs, is the unemployment rate unaffected? Because it's still 9.7, right?
Right. There's two things about the unemployment rate. Let me talk about the first one that goes to your question, and that is you're going to have a number of, like, you have going to have a period of this where we're going to create jobs, but the unemployment rate won't move. The reason for that is, and you see this in the numbers today, there's people coming back into the labor market who had completely given up for looking for a job because now they see actually that for hire signs are being taken off because people are getting a job. They talk to their neighbors who find jobs and so on and so forth. And so they are saying, like, well, maybe things are looking up. Let me go back into the labor market. Or they listen to Ali Valchi, and then they go back into the labor market.
And I didn't realize it was such cattiness between financial guys.
No. It's not. No,
best
but like, I mean, like, there's different mechanisms by which people learn about what's going on in the labor market. So what that means is you have more people coming for jobs, looking for jobs, but you also have more people finding jobs. But overall, the ratio of those who are looking for jobs to those who have jobs, because both numbers are going up, the ratio stays the same. We have actually 240,000 more people in the labor market this time around. We also have over 300,000 more jobs, according to the household survey, which is a slightly different number. That's where the unemployment rate comes from. So both numbers have gone up. So you have more job seekers, and you have more people employed, and that means that the unemployment rate doesn't stays the same. The other part about the unemployment rate, which is unique for this recession, is that we still have massive long-term unemployment. At this point, 44% of the people who are looking for a job have been looking for 6 months or more. We've never seen anything like this since World War II. And that's why we need to, we cannot just simply say, like, 163,000 jobs, that's great, let's go home. We need to push, we need to get into territory of 300,000, 400,000 jobs.
Well,
that's month.
When you start to realize how deep a hole we really have gotten into, right?
Absolutely. We're more than 10 million jobs behind. We have lost about 8.5 million jobs since the recession started. At the same time, the last 2 years, the population has grown, so you got to catch up to that. If you add those things together, you're over 10 million jobs that we have to create.
So
very
you're recommending people stop having sex and procreating until further notice?
Or shipping their kids.
I just like to see if he's paying attention
overseas.
To me some days.
Or did you hear what he, or shipping your kids to university overseas.
Exactly. Outsourcing your children.
It is worth pointing out that while these projections were, it was 40,000 jobs fewer than the government had projected, this is the highest job increase in 3 years, right, Christian?
It is, and the market had projected somewhere between 75,000 and 300,000 jobs, right in the middle there. It is certainly, there's two factors here. One is the weather still remains a factor. In February, we had a lot of big snowstorms that kind of wreaked havoc on employment numbers. In March, we had a lot of rain during the weeks when the numbers were calculated. So there's probably going to be some catching up to do in April. But generally, I think we're in a good trajectory. We're going forward. There is real momentum here. I think that's positive, but the momentum has to become a lot stronger if we really want to make a ding in the long-term unemployment.
Right. Christian, the president obviously out talking about health care yesterday, and, you know, what's going to change immediately. How do you see, you know, health care reform affecting the economy immediately?
I think the most immediate thing is that basically the future has become more predictable. That is, now there is no more uncertainty about whether there is healthcare reform or not. It passed. So businesses can plan, they can hire lawyers, they can hire actuaries and say, okay, well, what does this really mean? Let's just go through the numbers. And we can plan for that, that there's no more uncertainty. Because people were truly, like, waiting to see, okay, well, will this pass? Will this not pass? Do I have to hire an actuary? Do I have to figure out what my healthcare costs will be? The other part, the same holds true for individuals. And for small business owners, now they know, okay, well, we're going to get a subsidy for health insurance if we provide this. There is at some point a requirement that we have to offer it or pay a penalty. And that predictability makes the planning for businesses, for individual, much easier, much more predictable. And that, in the end, means people are going to start spending money that they had basically bunkered because of the uncertainty associated with healthcare reform and healthcare generally. So I think, it's not just me. I mean, you look through the entire economics research, predictability is really good for growth.
Well, you know, but what part of what people worry about is that, you know, a lot of the insurance company executives are even being outward about trying to find loopholes to get out of things that are in the legislation. How do you see that playing out?
I think in the end, that's going to be to some degree, it's going to be a technical issue. It's going to be regulatory issues. And the other part is going to be a political issue. If you have too many health insurance executives trying to wiggle out of the requirements, I think you're going to have states and you're going to have the federal government coming down hard on them, because I think nobody really is particularly sympathetic to health insurance companies. I mean, except for a few Republicans in Congress during the health care debate. But other than that, most people generally
don't
stand with the health insurance companies.
Right. I mean, is the current, you know, law going to cover that, or are we going to need some new, you know, Weasley insurance asshat regulation law to control them?
I think it's going to be a little bit more complicated because health insurance is regulated at the state level. I mean, there's two regulations. There's a federal level regulation because it's employee benefit, but then there's also state level regulation about the health insurance companies themselves. So I think, to be honest, it's just we have to wait and see, test this out, how these things work. There's a lot of things, especially if we have state and federal government regulations, we can't quite figure out how this will play out. You can never quite plan for it. But as I said, like if the health insurance companies are really going to make the case and say, like, woe is us, I think eventually the sympathy is not in their favor, let's put it this way.
Christian Weller, you are my regular fancy economist guy. I yelled your name out yesterday during the interview with Ali Balsham, just so you know.
She cries your name out all the time.
I do. Thank you, Christian Weller. See you next
Thank you
week.
Very much. See you next
all
week.
Right, there he goes. Oh, he was pleased by that. That was kind of sweet. All right.
That bald-headed bitch, Ali Balsham. Don't mention his name around me ever again.
Yeah, there
Bring
was
it up
some,
again.
Some animosity going on between financial guys.
Meow.
Clash of the saucer of milk. Titans.
A little saucer Release of milk Crockett. For Christian next week.
Someone has pointed
Wonk
out that...
Wonk Wars.
Chris from Yankton has pointed out that the Kraken is actually a Norse phenomenon. Had nothing to do with
Greek mythology.
Mythology. Yeah.
Right.
Well, it does now.
It does now, damn it. Greeks, right. Norse, what's the difference?
20 minutes after the hour, back with more Fridays with Fugelsang as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard anyone say about anything.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Listen to Stephanie Miller from a location between the loudspeakers. The dance is repeated several times.
Oh, yes. All right, then. You go ahead. Happy Anti-Death Penalty Day.
Indeed it is.
I just stole that right from John Fugelsang right in front of him. See, it's Good Friday.
It's Good Friday.
And the Catholic Church should declare it Anti-Death Penalty
this
Day,
is
shouldn't
the,
they?
The anniversary of the most famous execution of an innocent man in history.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Jesus never said, forgive us our trespasses as we lethally inject those who trespass against us, folks.
So what was so good about Friday for Jesus?
Well, it's called Good Friday because that's the day that Christ, you know, gave his life for our sins. Whether you view it that way or not.
So good for us. Not so.
It's
probably
not
so good
for him.
No, the worst day of his life.
Palm Sunday and Nail Friday.
10:30 brunch with the Pharisees. 12 be tortured to death by the Romans. Okay, good. I'm
yes.
set up for the weekend.
Yeah. Oh, unless you watch the Mel Gibson movie where the Romans pretty much make him breakfast and give him a pedicure. It's the Jews that do all the hard work.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's an amazing thing because the Catholic Church is every bit as much against the death penalty as they are against abortion, but you don't hear about it too much. And Jesus never mentioned abortion ever, but he was pretty clear about not killing the sinner. You know, the whole story about the adulteress, and they said, hey, here's the law. Back then, the death penalty was administered by the community. It was sort of like grassroots stoning. And if someone broke the law, everyone picked up a rock, threw it, and that's it. Then you go have lunch. When they brought the adulteress to Jesus, he said, hey, y'all, you among you who's not without sin can cast the first stone. Jesus refused. Jesus overturned the law. You can't follow Jesus and believe in killing the sinner. It doesn't work that way. And the Catholic Church should be talking about that. If they became more of the social justice church, we'd forget that they were the defending child rapist church. Mm-hmm. And if the Pope wants to solve this whole problem, by the way, he can do a couple things really quick. Allow women priests, overturn the celibacy law, and resign. And then you've saved the entire church.
Yep.
But these guys
The only thing incorrect in everything you just said is I don't think Jesus ever said y'all.
You don't think so?
No.
He was a carpenter.
I do not.
Oh.
Blue collar.
Come on, they use contractions.
Actually, y'all came directly from Aramaic.
Yes.
Yeah, he said yuzal, yuzal.
Oh, okay, my bad.
That's just
all
what
right.
I do.
As I recall, Jesus did say a thing or two about helping the poor and sick. The president, of course, having to still sell his health care program now that it's passed.
Been a lot of fear mongering, a lot of overheated rhetoric. You turned on the news, you'd see that those same folks who were hollering about it before it passed, they're still hollering about how the world will end because we passed this bill. This is not an exaggeration.
Yeah. Yes. Armageddon, in fact. Mm-hmm. The health care debate has generated intense levels of frustration among the bill's opponents. Those who say they are outright angry almost universally believe the country is going in the wrong direction. Of the 26%, this is a new poll. The 26% of people who describe themselves as angry about the new law in a recent Washington Post poll, virtually all also said the country was on the wrong track.
Yeah.
Because there's a black guy in the White House.
Yeah, meanwhile, let's defend Bush some more.
Hugh Pearson, 63, said, I grew up in the 50s. Mm-hmm. That was a wonderful time. Like, there were no Negroes in the White House.
Yeah, when the rich had a 93% tax burden. Yeah, it was a wonderful time.
It was Ozzie and Harriet days, Leave It to Beaver type stuff, where there were no
segregation, the good old days.
Yeah, don't you know when people say the good old days, that's what they mean? You know, when chicks couldn't vote and
like
know.
On Mad Men.
Right, we get on black people and, you know. Pearson and others described a rising concern about illegal immigrants. So how did I see that coming? They expressed a distrust with the government they believe is taking from the many and giving to the few.
You know, you got to wonder how American Indians feel when they hear teabaggers wanting to take their country back.
Yeah, exactly. Karen Hamrick from Southern Kentucky believes the health care bill will rob the majority in a misguided effort to help a small number of disadvantaged people. Yeah, 32 million people who don't have insurance. That's a small number of disadvantaged people.
Compared to the entire planet, yeah, that's a fairly small number. It's all about...
And then they go to church on Easter.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That's the thing. It's like there's Jim Wallace said on your show, there's 4,000 references to helping the poor in the Bible, 9 references to gay people.
Yeah.
Okay?
29 minutes after the hour, right back.
Up, white people.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Whoa! Oh, my.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour.
I spent years working on my George Takei impression and realized it was also my Casey Kasem.
Oh, my.
Don't you hate that? 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone
about
number.
A dog.
All right. What were we saying? Oh, yes, the president talking about... by the way, he mentioned the boner. Mr. Hell No, You Can't.
Hell No, You Didn't! Hell No, You Can't!
Yes, Mr. Yes, We Can.
Hell What You Did?
Yes.
John Boehner called the passage of this bill Armageddon. You had others who said, this is the end of freedom as we know it. So, after I signed the bill... I looked around. I looked up at the sky to see if asteroids were coming. I looked at the ground to see if cracks had opened up in the earth. You know what? It turned out it was a pretty nice day.
By the way, John Dugelsang, professional comedian extraordinaire, there was just a story about Obama's sense of humor. He's one of our funniest presidents, isn't he?
He is. A very funny guy. I mean, intentionally funny, I should say.
Right, yes.
Yeah, I wouldn't call him our funniest president, Stephanie.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, they wrote a whole story. Larry Miller, our buddy, comedian, also said this. He was talking about a performance Obama did. He said this guy was funny, not just in timing or politically funny or a little bit funny. He really had him going. And I think it was at I don't know if it was the White House correspondence or, you know,
and Larry's pretty conservative, too, so that's very high praise.
Yeah. Yeah. How does Obama rate on the scale of modern presidential humor, according to the story? I think he has a good sense of humor, says a presidential historian. He has a cerebral one, though. It's this dry irony you have to pay close attention to get
President
some
President Kennedy had that, too. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking the same thing. It really, he's the funniest president since Kennedy. Mm-hmm. I mean, intentionally.
Right.
Well, as we mentioned yesterday, Chris, we played the quip of John or Sean Hannity saying, calling teabaggers Tim McVeigh wannabes. And later, I was accused, Jim, of not understanding his subtle, nuanced humor.
Well, I think maybe he was trying to mock us, thinking they are Tim McVeigh wannabes. But what are you supposed to think when armed yahoos march on Washington to celebrate the anniversary of the destruction of the Murrah Building? You know, that sounds like Tim McVeigh wannabes to me.
The fat, sweaty guys playing with their pistols.
And more disturbing was that his audience cheered just the Tim McVeigh's name.
I don't
think they got your subtle humor, Sean.
Right.
Like, I mean, it really...
Can I just say one thing, though? Bringing you back to Death Penalty Friday today, to the Good Friday. These are the same guys who are so anti-government, but they're all pro-death penalty. So they have no problem with the government taking a life. You ever notice that disconnect? They think the state shouldn't have the right to get in our classroom or our life, but the state, it's not murder if the state does it. Complete hypocrites. I'm sorry, I'm on Death Penalty Friday for Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're on a mission today.
I'll be preachy and occasionally intentionally funny.
Here's the thing. Speaking of death panels, so have you seen a lot of these Republicans, like Representative Jack Kingston, Republican of Georgia? He's, of course, has been condemning the government takeover of health care, cheering on Tea Party protesters, denouncing the law's special deals on the House and floor and on news shows around the country. He joined the Republican effort to repeal the law in Congress and co-sponsored two separate bills to repeal and replace the bill. So yesterday he goes home to a town hall in Georgia and basically walks back his repeal rhetoric and highlights some of the benefits of the new law.
Oh, my God.
He's responsible for just the benefit, just the good parts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we call that Blanche Lincolning because they know they can't repeal it. They're not going to get 112 seats in the House. They're not going to get 26 or 27 votes in the Senate. It's
right,
absurd.
And even if they do, the president will veto it. So they know that this is ridiculous rhetoric to gin up dummies.
Well, that's why you got Blanche Lincoln, that great heroic Democrat who's running TV ads saying that she fought against the public option and killed it, and then running radio ads on African-American stations in Arkansas that say that I stood with President Clinton.
I stood with the President Obama.
They hate gays, but they love having it both ways.
That's
right. Yes, and by the way, at one point he assured the town hall there's no death panels. Oh, that's nice of him now. Yeah. Now that it's passed, see, and that didn't work. Now he's like, by the way, we were just lying about that anyway.
Yeah, facing a room full of men with guns saying there's no death panels.
He said at the town hall, there's a lot of things in this bill I think you and I would certainly like. I think as a practicality, you're going to have trouble repealing the whole deal.
Oh, boy.
He goes on TV and he sponsors a bill to repeal it.
Yeah.
And then he goes up again. That's just sad.
He's trying to join David Frum's really small Republicans Who Tell the Truth Club.
Truth of the Month Club.
Yeah, and he was just on Fox News like the day before, talking about repeal like this. And, he has to go home and admit,
what a hypocrite.
But I'm just being an asshat.
All right. And still you act surprised, my love. Still you act surprised.
That's the beauty of this job, is I can continually be surprised every day.
That's why the Republicans love strippers, because they both get paid for telling working class folks what they want to hear.
Jim mocks me because I go all Dorothy on him sometimes. I'm like, why, Jim, they wouldn't do that.
They would.
Why, Jim, it's America.
This is America.
Are we all in this together? Why? All right.
You can't. Hell no, you can't.
Funny every time. All right. He got so angry the orange was falling off.
Hell no, you can't. Hell no, you can't make a Rob Roy. Where did you go to varsity school?
Closer to a Harvey Wallbanger, you idiot. Okay, the president on the small business.
Millions of small business owners are going to be eligible for a tax credit that will help them cover the cost of insurance for their employees.
Communist. Oh, thank God. You mooks are dragging me down. I'm like Titanic. I got to have to push you off the piece of wood soon if I didn't get a tax break.
Well, these buttons ain't going to push themselves.
Don't be so sure about that.
Oh.
Mama's been looking into technology. Mm. All right.
Buttons need healthcare, too.
You could be replaced by a machine.
Uh-huh.
They're going to run on a platform of repeal in November. And my attitude is, go for it. You try to repeal.
By the way, Jim already is a machine, so that's why I don't have to have him replaced.
You're a machine.
He's the VoicePot 2000.
I only require some maintenance.
Okay, the president, one last time on health care.
I want these members of Congress to come to come out of Washington, come here to Maine, and tell Mr. Milliken there, you know what, we're going to take away your tax credits, essentially raise your taxes. If they want to do that, be my guest.
Yeah.
All right. Yes, we can.
Yeah, McCain's going to fight to bring back pre-existing conditions.
Yeah, good job. Run on that.
Yes, my friends.
And yet, they still are coming after him. You know, what do you call a president who escalates war, who kills the public option, and wants more coastal drilling? The GOP calls him a liberal.
Mm-hmm. A Marxist.
A socialist.
So the next big fight, of course,
will be
done. They will move from defending the insurance companies to defending the big banks as we try to get the financial...
Well, but in fairness, the rich have had it tough for a long time in this country, Steph.
Yes, mm-hmm. I know.
I mean, with Acorn and everything, the rich have had it hard for a while.
Uh-huh. By the way, isn't Acorn disbanding, Chris? What are they going to bitch about now, for God's sakes?
Yeah, after 40 years of helping...
What are right-wing felon/filmmakers going to do exposés on now?
After 40 years of helping the disadvantaged, Acorn is being forced to disband.
For nothing.
Like the Oak Ridge
Boys
had to stay together.
This is yet another story about how sympathetic the big bankers are. Did you see this story? Obscenity-screaming douchebag hedge fund manager throws a hissy fit after being asked to move his car. Did you see this story? A Cambridge hedge fund honcho won't be putting on the Ritz anytime soon. A judge ordered him away from the Ritz-Carlton Hotel and Towers on Boston Common yesterday for allegedly hurling his BMW keys into a valet's face.
Oh, no.
So, some people are used to getting their own way, I guess. He pitched his alleged curbside fit Tuesday at about 7 p.m. when he tried to head into the Ritz's Blue restaurant and was instead asked by a residential valet to remove his silver BMW from a residential-only parking. He's accused of yelling obscenities at the valet before throwing his keys at his face, striking him in the upper lip area.
Thank God he's got a whole TV news network to defend him.
I know. Yes.
Hannity calls him a patriot. That's the tantrum of freedom.
You have to stand up to those little punk valets sometimes, you know?
Did you just say the tantrum of freedom?
Yes, because he's bit of freedom.
I love even when the far right tries to seem inclusive. I love this story. The National Review Online, you know, the far right, whatever.
They're lunatics over there.
Yes.
Yes.
They posted an article arguing the fact that the recession has been worse for minorities suggests that discrimination may well still be a factor in the American labor market.
Mm.
So in response, they hosted an online symposium for some economics and civil rights analysts to share their thoughts on the topic. The conclusion was, discrimination is an insufficient explanation for black unemployment. By the way, they did not include any black participants in the study.
Interesting.
Oh, no. A bunch of white guys conclude that there is no discrimination against black people.
What is it worse for minorities? Hip-hop. That's it.
Yeah.
Wow. And after all Bush did to really balance the scales for 8 years.
These are guys who were wrong about everything.
No better news for the RNC after the lesbian bondage sex nightclub fiasco.
Can we flog Michael Steele a little bit over this bondage, please? A little bit of flogging of Michael Steele?
He might like it too much.
That's the way I roll, baby.
It's apparently. The RNC now has sent a fundraising mail piece earlier this month. It's been revealed with a return number that leads to a phone sex line. Offering live one-on-one talk with a nasty girl who will do anything you want for just $2.99 per minute. It's Sarah Palin's number? What the? Hey! What? You see where I went there?
I think it's completely appropriate. You can call the RNC or a phone sex hotline. Either way, they're going to do the same thing to you.
Ah, blah, 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 blah. Well, we got literally a million of them. Mm-hmm. At the bottom of the piece designed to resemble a census form, a toll-free number is listed next to the National Party's address. A voter in Minnesota received the mailer and called the number intending to complain about the attempt to raise money with a form that looks like a government document. But the man was instead directed to a second toll-free number that greets callers as sexy guy before offering them the chance to talk with real local students, housewives, and working girls from all over the country.
Awesome. Awesome. Awesome.
They're real, not simulated.
You know, I think it's fantastic. Michael Steele's job is safe, by the way. He's not going to lose his job over this.
No, God.
What are you saying? He's like Christmas present to you Democrats.
Oh, yeah.
Give me a break. I mean, liberals couldn't do better with Michael Steele.
Oh, I know. I pray they don't. He's the worst RNC chair ever.
His one job is to raise money, and he's still behind the Democrats on it. It's in spite of all the teabagging. The guy's his job, he's the safest black man in America next to Kevin Eubanks, right? That's how much job security he has.
45 minutes after the hour. Back with more Fridays with Fugle Sang as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Like it? I love it! This is fabulous!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm already doing that. I'm trying to talk John Fugelsang into doing next hour so I can leave now.
Yes. No.
I told her it's going to be an hour of Pope bashing if I take over.
I have to buy a single balloon and a box of wine for the one or two people that are going to show up to my sad little cocktail party tomorrow that I unwisely planned on a holiday weekend out of my desperate loneliness.
I'm sure you can get some homeless people to show up.
Yeah.
I think that's
Manhattan is crawling with homeless people.
I'll get that guy that screamed at me that I'm a racist because I have two white dogs on the street a couple days ago.
Yeah, that'll make for a good party.
That guy. I think we could work it out. All right, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Lots to get. Oh, by the way, John Fugelsang and I have a very exciting announcement.
Big announcement coming up.
Ooh, after the top of the hour.
You're getting married.
Don't tell his wife. She might be listening.
We haven't gotten the real estate in Utah yet.
All right. How's about we dive into the right-wing world and see what's doing, shall we, kids? Yes.
Yummo.
Thank you.
Yummo? What, do we turn into Rachel Ray? Good God.
Oh, Rachel Ray.
Jim's hungry for some right-wing world.
Rachel Ray's done more for obesity than high-fructose corn syrup.
Oh, dear, I tire of Charles Krauthammer. I don't know about you. It's the same talking points on the
Ripper.
The narrative of the Obama administration and the very liberal House and Senate leadership propelling America into huge amounts of debt, high taxes, which would be inevitable, and a great increase in the size, the reach, the scope of government. That's the narrative, and all the elements are there.
Oh.
Stimulus, the takeover of autos with the sweetheart deals that the unions got, the takeover of
sweetheart
deals,
yeah,
never right. Even debated, and of course the big one, takeover of health care.
Yes.
Wow. He doesn't believe his own lies.
He seems like he's tiring of himself.
Yeah.
I'm glad the bad hair dye hasn't actually seeped into his brain completely yet.
Jim, did he say the very liberal Senate?
I think
is that what he said, leadership? Is he means that wild man Marxist Harry Reid? Is that
yes?
Is that what he means?
Can we point out that Ronald Reagan grew the government by 61,000 jobs, and Bill Clinton cut it by 300,000. Mm-hmm. Isn't it worth pointing out that Reagan quadrupled the debt? And that wouldn't be right.
But that's Reagan
not
was a friend of the working
News.
Man. No,
all
not
right.
Really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Reagan gave amnesty to Mexicans too. But that's not.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
I hit your button by mistake.
My cough button.
I hit your cough button when I. Sorry, I was doing my own hernia test and I cut off.
Yes,
your cough.
I have a cough button. You have a hack button right over there. You see.
All right. Oh, look, it's the real Tony Perkins, Jim, on the, on the...
No, mother, blood, no!
Thank you. No, not that. It's the family research guy who is mad that they've hired Ted Olson at the RNC because something he does might inadvertently result in rights for gay people. Oh, no!
Yes, he's a right-wing gas bag with insufficient hatred for gays!
Just a few weeks ago, they announced that they were hiring the constitutional attorney Ted Olson to represent the RNC. Well, just so happens Ted Olson is also working to overturn Prop 8 out in California, marriage amendment that was passed by 7 million voters. That obviously doesn't sit well with many Republican-minded voters who have worked hard in 31 states to pass marriage amendments or statutes.
Who have worked hard to keep gay people from getting rights, for God's sakes.
The best thing you can do is to keep Republicans fighting each other.
And here comes this Marxist communist Ted Olson, for God's sake.
George Bush's lawyer, whose wife gave her life on 9/11. How dare he? How dare he have insufficient hatred for gays?
That doesn't sit well with conservatives. Harumph. Okay, Eric. Yes, sir?
The closeted gay ones, probably, quietly. Or, yeah, well,
they're
quietly,
clapping very quietly. Oh. Did someone see me? Okay, Eric Erickson, the CNN pundit, on his he has a radio show, the Red State Blog Guy?
Yes, yeah. He does. He has a radio show.
No kidding?
I think it might reach the same number of listeners as Brian and the Judge.
Eric
really?
Yeah.
Where can you get that Red State Blogger Guy's radio show exactly?
I honestly
don't let's
know
promote him. Where can you find
is
him?
Is one of them online dealios? How do you?
I honestly don't know.
Is it from his basement? What do you think?
I'm sure he's got lots of opinions you won't hear elsewhere.
I sense it's sort of like King of Comedy, but he's got like, you know, and he interviews cardboard cutouts of like Al Franken and Nancy Pelosi.
He's the Rupert Pumpkin of right-wing gas bags.
Okay, here he is.
This is crazy. What gives the Commerce Department
microphone.
The right to ask me how often I flush my toilet or about going to work? I'm not filling out this form. I dare them to try to come throw me in jail. I
Good.
Dare them to pull out my wife's shotgun and see how that little ACS twerp likes being scared of the door. They're not coming on my property. They can't do that. They don't have the legal right, and yet they're trying.
I'm going to eat yeah. this liver
okay.
with some
fava beans
and a nice Chianti.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, Jim, and say that guy, that show, it's from his mom's basement.
Yeah.
That is a guy with a tiny penis that's doing a radio show.
I thought I heard the
mom's.
Dryer running in the background. Yeah.
I can't wait till he needs a hospital, but they've closed down because there weren't enough census forms mailed in from his district.
Yeah.
You know, I hate roads. Hate them. Hate garbage collection.
I dare them to come and get me with a shot. Mom! I'm not done with my radio show!
The fact that his parents named him Eric Erickson, it makes me a little bit sorry.
Eric the Red.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Joe, wow. The Glenn Beck fill-ins these days? Where do they get these guys?
I guess this guy's nickname is Joe Pags.
Pags? Joe Pagliarulo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We've got a president in office now who is very adept at lying, at speaking out of both sides of his mouth. Yeah, it's kind of funny. He's very adept at taking two sides of every issue.
He's taking calls from his hostages in his basement.
Yeah. That was actually his guest, Ted Nugent.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right. He's very skilled at lying. They prefer a president who's horrible at lying.
So
for 8 years.
Does the show at the drive-thru for Jack in the Box? Is that?
No, you can't get fries with that.
Sure, we're all out of crazy bread. Sorry.
You can't get twisty bread.
Would you like fries with your racism? Okay, so the president's a liar.
Yes.
That was what I got out of that. Okay. Uh-huh. All right. So seeing two sides of an issue and having any sort of nuance, that's just you're basically
you're a communist.
Okay. Got it. Uh-huh. All right. Dark Adam Gasbag, Rush Limbaugh.
But let's not forget the bill was endorsed heartily by El Presidente, Fidel Castro.
Oh.
He loved it. McCaskill was asked about that. What do you think about Castro giving Obamacare his stamp of approval?
It would be better if he kept his mouth shut.
Why? Why should Obama keep his mouth shut? Why should Castro? Sorry, why should I get confused?
Oh, I get it. See, that's he gets Castro and Obama. You just can see they're both communists. Okay. All right. All right. We'll be back with the prostitute toe sucker Dick Morris and.
Do we have to?
Scosmore, right wing world, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, baby, of course it is. It is Fridays, not just any Friday. It's Fridays with Fugle saying.
It's released the Kraken Friday, thank you very much.
John Peter saying.
Mm-hmm, that's right, baby. I sure am glad that $2 I spent on Matisse didn't go to waste. Lie back, Stephanie. Let me give you that special pedicure.
Thank you. This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Napa. Napa know-how. You know what I'm talking about. Get the good stuff. Napa. Okay, here we go.
Get the good stuff was their old slogan. They're going with Napa know-how now.
Well, they've got both.
They do.
All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward. Oh, who is going to see our good friend Rick Overton tonight.
Rick Overton tonight.
Perform the comedy.
If you're in Los Angeles.
Yeah, yes, if you're in L.A. It's $15 at the door at the Fake Gallery, 4319 Melrose Avenue in Hollywood. Or you can reserve free tickets. Send an email to creativemindworks@me.com.
Fabulous. Yeah. He is brilliant and a good friend of...
Tonight. Yes.
A good friend of the Stephanie Miller Show and of Stephanie Miller.
Indeed.
Yes.
Well, so
and a good friend of friends of Stephanie Miller, like John Fugelsang. All right.
I did a film with him 20 years ago or so. We didn't have the scenes together. But.
Which film was that, Jim?
It was called Galaxies Are Colliding, which five people have seen.
Yeah.
I'm going to be going to Netflix this weekend.
I was much thinner.
I did a film with him 2 years ago that less than five people have seen, but hopefully we'll soon.
All right. You can email us all at the StephanieMiller.com as well. David, one of the very immature Stephanie Miller listeners, writes, Steph, this is right out of Porky's. The Attorney General of Michigan, who is going to file suit over health care reform, is named Mike Cox.
No.
You have to have one of the mooks call his office on your show and ask for him.
Mike Cox in?
Pardon me, Jim?
Is Mike Cox in?
I'm trying to find Mike Cox.
Both of them?
That's just silly. I don't know why he thinks we'd be interested in that.
Mike Hunt on you for
July
2.
Hmm? What's that?
Really? Who? My who?
Michael Hunt. Yes.
Mike Latour. Mike Latouris told me about that.
Uh-huh. Oh man. See you in sixth grade.
I know. Really.
Oh God.
Gloria in San Francisco. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Gloria. Hello.
I think we offended
Gloria?
Her.
Pardon me?
She slammed her phone down when she heard
Yeah, that was my fault.
Joke.
Yeah,
so did my agent.
Because you had to go to the Mike Hunt thing. So,
I didn't say that one.
No,
that
Jim
was not
did,
me.
So that's why you scared. Gloria, are you there? There she is. Hello, Gloria. Calling Gloria.
She put the phone down.
Hi, Gloria.
She put the phone down.
Gloria, I think we've got your number.
That's funny. All right. Let's finish up a little bit of a right-wing world, shall we, kids? Dick Morris, prostitute toe-sucker on the Fox and Friends.
The booing of Ann Coulter up in Canada, mm-hmm. The stuff with Sarah Palin. You're really looking here at a totalitarian. You could only really call it a Bolshevik left.
Oh, I see.
Wow.
See, those are the only... I see. So there's not any incidents of actual violence or...
No.
Yes, on the right. It's just that it's the booing of Ann Coulter is the worst thing that's happened to America.
That makes me want to spit on a congressman, I'll tell you. I'm so angry.
But these people think they are using the rights of free speech to say that Ann Coulter.
He must be the only human in the world that cares that Ann Coulter got booed. She said stuff just to get booed, for God's sakes.
Look, they're really mad that this anti-freedom, un-American, unread bill was rammed through the House. But enough about the Patriot Act.
Yeah.
All right. O'Reilly on, who better? What better holy man, John, to talk about Holy Week than Bill O'Reilly?
It is Holy Week and millions of Americans will be attending church services, but the Obama family might not be among them because of logistics. The president saying his appearance at a church could be disruptive. But he did attend Reverend Wright's church for many years in Chicago, as we know.
Come on.
Therefore, some folks are criticizing him now.
He wasn't the president then.
Wow. He did a big U-turn to go back and get a Reverend Wright reference.
Right.
For the record, folks, the 8 years Ronald Reagan was in office, he never attended church for the same exact reason. He didn't want to cause a spectacle. But Jimmy Carter held services in the White House to avoid causing a spectacle.
There you go again.
There you go again, bringing up various inconsistencies from the Reagan administration. All right, that concludes a right-wing world. Thank God and not an Alan a moment too soon. John, Chris, could you take your organ out for me, please?
Which one? I have four.
It's Holy Week. Figure it out.
I thought he only had three.
Okay.
Stop talking about Mike Cox.
I gotta have you work this.
Call back. We call it call back in the business.
Oh, I gotta sell you to the. I gotta sell you to the circus on the weekends to make a little extra money for the show.
What a quick show biz!
It's the bearded lady and four organ man. All right, Chris writes, Steph, I'll start by saying I regularly enjoy your show. His point is until John Fugelsang ruined it.
Right.
I was taken aback by something one of the gentlemen on your show said.
Don't call me that.
Who are you calling gentlemen?
How dare you, sir.
He was commenting on the fact that it's wrong for the Pope to blame the pedophilia scandals on gay priests. I agree, but then he goes on to say it's actually the fault of heterosexual priests, and if we just let them marry, this would be resolved. It's simply not that easy. A pedophile is a pedophile because they're a pedophile. No amount of celibacy, forced or voluntary, will cause a mentally sound person to turn to pedophilia. Just as the gentleman on your show said, gay priests don't go after children, they have boyfriends, I would say heterosexual priests don't go after children, they're either celibate or they have girlfriends. Pedophilia is a disorder that affects men and women across all segments of society. It's never okay to hide, protect, or otherwise aid a person suffering from this, but to suggest that if we let a pedophile marry, they wouldn't lust after children is simply ludicrous.
Yes.
If that were the case, we'd never have married pedophiles, which is definitely not the reality we live in. I will continue to listen to your show, since I find it generally informative. I guess his point isn't
that this is a critique against me. How dare you call me a gentleman? Where do I begin? You make a lot of good points, and I do think that we have to have, you know, a real Christians would have sympathy for a pedophile, but what he fails to bring up is the fact that celibacy is unnatural, and there is no biblical justification for it.
Listen, I'm not enjoying it.
Well, right, but yours is involuntary. Yeah.
It's brought on by loserdom, but go ahead.
We were saying this earlier in the show, but if you are a conservative Christian, you believe in married priests, because the first Pope, St. Peter, was married. All the priests and popes and bishops for over 1,000 years were married. But in 1139 AD, the church didn't want them leaving land and wealth to their kids anymore, so the Vatican made celibacy the law, not because Jesus was a bachelor, not because sex was bad, but because the church was greedy. Way before Da Vinci Code, kids. Mm-hmm. This is something that can be overturned tomorrow. Benedict can let women join the priesthood. He can allow celibacy to be discarded, and you will see this problem go away in one generation. It can happen. The whole thing about blaming the gay people is just more and more of this insane suicidal cult the church has become, trying to avoid any kind of responsibility for what they've done. This is an ancient Roman problem. The Romans were the ones who always brought the young boys on the road with them when they went off to battle or occupy the Middle East.
Right.
And it seems within the hallowed moldy halls of the Vatican.
And you can't even take a carry-on these days without getting charged.
I mean,
really.
I mean, try bringing a Roman boy on the plane as carry-on. It's like they make
exactly.
you buy an extra ticket.
Exactly. Listen, I've tried. What? Chris, could you take your organ back out? Yeah, I think, you know, there was this, where is this? Time Newsweek. I just thought, that's, people, I think most people do job, but I don't know if they really get the scope of this, you know, for Bill Donahue to say, oh, this is just a homosexuality crisis and it's just a few, anyway, Lisa Miller writes, Save the Children, Benedict and Company Need to Do Penance, I believe it's, I'm sorry, Newsweek. She writes, more than 100,000 children in Europe smacked, tortured, and raped by priests who were supposed to protect them. Bishops and spokesmen denying or minimizing their role, appearing for all the world like old men who seem not to understand the seriousness of what they've done. It's people that are sort of dismissing it like a, you know, some sort
it's a prank.
Yeah.
Like Abu Ghraib. Come on. Boys will be boys. Priests will be priests. If a Catholic boy touches himself, it's a mortal sin. If a priest does it, it's a tragic mistake.
Yeah. In Ireland, it was revealed Cardinal Sean Brady had reportedly been present at a 1975 tribunal at which child victims were forced to sign an affidavit affirming they'd keep silent on the matter of their molestation. Vatican spokesman denied that Pope Benedict knew of the predatory. Either, you know, that's the whole big picture thing. He wasn't a detailed guy. So the 200 deaf kids, they didn't. That kind of slipped through the cracks. Reporters will continue to investigate the question, what did Benedict know and when did he know it? But his continued complicity in the matter of Cardinal Bernard Law taints him already, no matter what is revealed in Munich. Law presided over the Boston Archdiocese for nearly 20 years. During that time, he ignored repeated pleas from mothers and aunts of abused children, coddled offending priests, demanded silence from victims until after the number of cases exceeded 500. Oh. He was forced in 2002 to resign his post. Today, he's Archpriest of the Basilica of in Rome, a position that, according to the New York Times, earns $12,000 a month. He reports to no one but the Pope and lives in a palatial apartment. As an active member of the College of Cardinals, he can either help elect the next Pope and works on at least 7 Vatican committees. Mm. That's your punishment for, you know. Where is the genuine self-reflexive horror among the people in charge? They let things go terribly wrong. Where are the resignations, the defrockings, the reassertions of essential values? The church insists on the sacredness of every human life, has lived this conviction very poorly. She concludes by saying, for an institution that protects itself above its children may not, after all, offer the best Sunday lesson.
You know, forget about doing penance. Someone's got to do time. And this is why I've come to view the church. I view Jesus the way I view Elvis. I love the guy. The fan clubs freak me out. And they have elevated protecting the fan club above protecting what the faith is supposed to be about. And that's why they're becoming a third world religion. It's so preventable. Mm-hmm. These guys, and again, look, the Catholic Church, no organization does more for poverty, okay? I'm going to give Benedict some props on a few things. They do a lot for poverty. They could sell a painting and feed Bangladesh
sure,
for a
yeah.
year, but they haven't quite gotten around to that yet. They've done so much against the death penalty. There is no greater advocate against capital punishment. And you've got to bring it up on Good Friday, because if there was no death penalty, Jesus might still be here. But
then we couldn't hunt for colored eggs.
That's true. We wouldn't have that.
Stephanie and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, guys. A couple things real quick is, you know, the Catholic Church, and I think they should allow marriage and like Episcopalians. I mean, we don't have this kind of junk in our church, but
mm-hmm.
It's probably
yeah, but Pat Robertson says you're not even a real religion. What's that, Episcopalian?
I know. It's kind of... The whole background in it, although, you know, our prayers and everything else is exactly like Catholics, but anyway.
But you allow gay bishops, which is cool.
Yeah, exactly. And
queer leader for the Episcopal breeder.
And all that kind of stuff. So, but I wanted to comment real quick. Alan Grayson, your bit you had the other day, that was just great. And is he going to be a regular?
Well, you know, I've asked him to. I want him to. We want him to be our congressman, like Bernie Sanders is
yes.
Tom Hartman.
And there is some interest there, so we're working
yeah,
on it.
We would like to get him on as a weekly guest to, you know, to take calls from listeners.
Yeah.
And, yeah,
I think that would be just so great. I can't wait to ask him questions and, you know, get an honest and factual response for someone instead of being like the boner and just, you know, screaming.
Yeah, yeah. No, he is our kind of congressman. I would like to make him the official congressman of the Stephanie Miller Show. We're working on it. Thank
Hell
you, Steph.
No, you can't!
Yes, I can.
Hell
yes,
no,
I can.
You can't!
He's funny and inappropriate and he pisses off the Republicans. Perfect for our show.
He studied their playbook.
And I think there's a good chance that both of us will encourage each other to say something that will garner us a great deal of publicity and get us in a lot of trouble.
Which is great.
Great. 18 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Fridays with Fugelsang as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's life-altering. It's soul-changing. It's the summit of all human desire.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Call me Al. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. John Fugelsang is saying that I have a very exciting announcement after the bottom of the hour break.
Ooh.
We're very excited about this announcement. We're releasing the Kraken.
Tim in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hello, guys. Hey, I just wanted to call and see if you guys had heard about T-Bonics yet.
No, was that Teabagger?
Well, it's the new language of the Tea Party movement. It's the exciting new variation of English that they put on their signs.
I see, because they misspell their racist slogans
it's
and things.
Creative spelling and grammar.
And
it's now known as T-Bonics.
All right. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate that.
Don't you love the people who said Ebonics would destroy the culture gave us Bush?
Yeah, exactly. Sanchez and Montebello, hola, que tal, adios, mio, mi amigo.
This portion of the Mamacita y los Mookie show is brought to you by 1-800-BEAVERS, offering the finest in venison and other exotic meats. And because of this monumental occasion, 1-800-BEAVERS is offering an online special. Save 20% on your next order of beaver when you enter the promo code Sanchez in the checkout box. 1-800-BEAVERS.
Thank you, Sanchez.
Well,
that's new.
Here I am. I'm ready to eat my humble pie. Yes.
Along with your big beaver.
It's actually, I couldn't afford the mailing cost here, so it's a medium-sized beaver. It's your average size, I think it's a 17-pounder here.
All right, that nice beaver.
Yes, it's a medium-sized beaver. And,
thank you.
Did you
stuff it yourself?
I was up all night last night and had it in the oven here, and it's piping hot, ready to go here. But
all right, I think
beaver.
I'm encouraged. Yeah.
Thank
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
I think I've encouraged you enough. Go ahead now.
Well, here we go. First of all, I have to give a big thank you to Jeff Farias from The Jeff Farias Show for providing me with this blackened Cajun beaver recipe, okay? So a big thank you to him.
Do you have anything but beaver stack today, Sanchez?
Well, here we go. First of all, if you don't mind, I need to shave this beaver, so give me a second here.
All right. For the love of God, you're okay. You're bye-bye. Right. Bye-bye
take
now.
Bye-bye then.
Loser. It's Friday. I don't know. We're just
no pot of gold at the end of the beaver rainbow.
No.
I do want to announce Charlie Sheen is leaving Two and a Half Men. The show will now be known as Two Men. Thank you.
Hey!
Okay. Hey, by the by, speaking of the TV, wow, this is, I don't know after that last call if I should be doing the tampon story you sent me, Chris. An advertising campaign. This is a breaking news story, as you know. An advertising campaign for tampons is rejected by U.S. television networks for daring to include the word vagina.
What?
But isn't that where...
For years, advertising for tampons and sanitary products have been shrouded in nebulous euphemism, and it always involves riding a horse on the beach. I don't know why. And wings of some sort. So what happens when a U.S. tampon maker drops the coy messaging and goes, straight for the... You know,
right.
The ad gets banned by major U.S. television networks for mentioning the word...
Sure. But you can talk about four-hour erections to the couch.
Yes, that's fine. That's not a double standard there. Wow. Even when the company substituted down there, I wonder if they tried any other air in that.
Wow. I'm sorry for Tampax. It's a heavy day.
Air.
Just going with the flow.
Oh, God. Why did I even start this?
You brought it up.
Two of the networks still wouldn't run the ad, so the company was forced... I'm sorry, Jim. What'd you say?
That's no. You turn around and see that line you just stepped over, Jim.
Oh, God.
There it is. Look behind you. There's the line.
Yeah.
There's you.
What do you know?
Entirely on the other side of it.
It's a light day after all.
Okay, listen. All right. Let's.
Wow.
Yes. Let's just move on, shall we?
I don't even know what
you
to say.
You started it. Yeah, you started it, Stephanie.
Well, it's just a joke.
I did for sending it to you.
All right, well, plug it up now, seriously.
Okay, come on.
All right.
Enough with it. It's a tampon joke.
Put a plug in it, seriously.
No strings attached.
All right, come on.
I blame Aunt Flo.
See, that's how I can tell I'm working. I missed that. What?
Oh.
What did he say?
That's not worth it.
He blames Aunt Flo.
Okay, see, that's how I know I'm working with progressive men, because normally, you know, men, you can't even see that box on the back of the toilet. It's just, right? It's,
baby, you can call us Noah, because we're the only men in town who can handle the flood.
All right, you know what? I'm just getting out of this. I'm getting out of this entirely. Tom in Blacksburg, Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Stephanie. Hopefully we've got some reception here.
I guess not. You spoke too soon.
Bless his heart.
Yes, I believe he wants to agree with you, John, that removing celibacy from the priesthood would, entirely solve.
It won't entirely solve it, but I mean, celibacy is an insult to God. It's completely unnatural, and how are you going to ask a celibate to give marital advice? It's absurd, and it's based in greed. There's no scriptural basis for it.
That is true. You haven't had sex in 45 years. What do you think I should do?
Right on. You're a 27-year-old celibate. Give us a marital advice. Look, same with women in the priesthood. But we'll get to that later.
Yes, 29 minutes after the hour. That and our exciting announcement next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Easily distracted by irrelevant stimuli. Often impulsively abandons one task for another. A tendency to act without regard to consequences, often at the expense of personal safety.
It's not hip to be a dodecahedron, apparently, but square. Square is fine.
It's hip to be trapezoid.
Hey!
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Hey, 1-800-STEPH-12 if you want to join the party, and it is a party. It's Fridays with John Fugelsang, live in the New York Bureau. We have. Oh, we have an exciting announcement. I forgot. That's what we're doing here.
Yes.
Look at me being all discombobulated.
We're all waiting with bated breath.
Oh, thank God. Yes, we would like to announce an exciting three-way between me and John Fugelsang and Hal Sparks. It will
a live three-way.
Am I invited?
No. Oh. Well, you can come if you want to, but I'm not paying for it.
Oh.
April 17th in New York City, we will be doing a live show. It'll be Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show.
Indeed.
Starring John Fugelsang and Hal Sparks. And we have the venue, but we got to wait to announce.
We can't announce it yet. It's a beautiful venue.
Yeah.
It will be filmed as well.
It will be filmed for television.
Only
yes.
100 people will get to come to this taping. And
to this happening.
Going to be a live show with music and a
It's my happening,
comedy.
And it freaks me out. That's from some movie.
And a very special guest to be announced later.
Yes.
It's from Beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
Oh, see?
Oh, there you go.
Ebert. I don't know where my movie references are from. Ever since they've drummed me right out of Hollywood, I don't remember.
That's a Roger Ebert script, too. So you're quoting from the best.
Stephanie Miller.
They drummed you right out of Hollywood. So you come crawling back to Broadway. Well, Broadway doesn't go for booze and dope. Now you get out of my way, because I've got a man waiting for me.
Okay, that part's a bunch of, but the rest of it. Anyway, very exciting. So
Saturday,
we've been talking about this for a long time, a lot of foreplay,
mm-hmm.
and now we're going to go ahead and do the three-way. There'll be some live music, and John and Hal will be doing stand-up, and I'll be doing whatever I pull out of my ass that sort of seems like stand-up, but not
Stephanie
really.
Stephanie Miller will be doing stand-up. There'll also be, it is going to be filmed, so there's going to be a lot of different stuff and a lot of surprises. And,
yes, audience Q&A and all of that sort of stuff, and we will be eventually touring with this around to different cities, and we're hoping that perhaps Jim Ward will join us at some point.
Really?
When it's in Los Angeles.
Oh, a boy can dream. A boy can dream.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, well, we need Jim because we need someone who's actually funny to join us.
Well, exactly.
See if I can find somebody.
But the tickets will be going on sale next week, and the venue will be announced. But mark your calendars if you're in the tri-state area, kids. And if you're not, get on a plane and be there. It's Saturday, April 17th. Me, Stephanie, and Hal on one stage.
That's right. Cool. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show, ladies and gentlemen. It'll be it's sort of like the Christmas sweater, Bill O'Reilly, Glenn Beck tour, except with people that aren't crazy.
We're not the Christmas sweater. We're more like the Kwanzaa Moo Moo.
Exactly.
And that's what we're bringing to you.
Let's change the name. Stephanie Miller's Kwanzaa Moo Moo. Stephanie Miller's Chrismahana Kwanzaa Kamumu.
I love it. I don't like it. I love it. And this will be a very, very funny show. And yeah, you'll get to be up close and personal with Steph. And
then at the end, we're all going to drop out of into a net from the ceiling and simulate bondage sex.
That's like the new Celine Dion show in Vegas.
That part we're still rehearsing.
Yeah, we have to have a lot of rehearsal for that. We're not responsible for any injuries if you're hit by a bra flung at Hal Sparks. We have to say that.
All right.
That's Saturday the 17th. Tickets on sale next week and more details to come.
There you go. All right. So we will keep you apprised of all the latest details on that. All right. I mentioned earlier, Chris, what was it? The National Review Online had a symposium
wrong about everything.
Yes, exactly. They had a symposium on whether their racism is still, affects obviously minorities, much higher incidence of unemployment.
Those are the rich white guys I go to for racism facts.
Yes, and they concluded that there was no such thing as discrimination in there, except there were no black people on the panel. They couldn't find a one.
Yeah.
But it was a bunch of white guys that says everything's fine here, move along.
Well, you'd expect the National Review to be wrong because it's headed up by Bill Kristol.
William the Bloody.
Mm-hmm. So, meanwhile...
Okay, Junior.
The University of Washington held a debate about the constitutionality of the recently passed health care reform bill. They were unable to find any law professors to argue that health care reform is unconstitutional. So that also made that a little sparse, that gathering.
And it turns out President John Adams had a health care mandate for sailors. So there you go.
Yes. The Seattle Times reported that none of the panelists of the debate argued the bill was unconstitutional because the organizers of the event couldn't find any law professors who held that view. While the four panelists at the packed event may have differed on some of the finer points, they all agreed on the big question. They said the new law passes constitutional muster, and that's weird. It's because the president is a constitutional law professor, and somehow he seemed to know that in advance. Huh.
They hear mandate, and they think it means they have to go out with Barney Frank. So pardon the Republicans.
I think it's already taken.
And I believe one of them even, a former Republican U.S. attorney who was on the panel even said this seems to be a political exercise. I mean, they really are. They're just all bluster at this point. They know that
it's not.
What
do you want, solutions? Ideas? Come on.
So now, in this economy, they're going to spend, some of these Republican attorney generals are going to spend money that states don't have to try to overturn something they know is right. It's not going to, it's just...
Yeah, but at least they're not raising taxes on the rich. Because that's socialism.
All right. All right. By the by, since the Affordable Care Act passed last week, some of the country's largest companies have complained about a provision that preserves a federal subsidy they receive for providing retirees with prescription drug coverage, but prevents them from deducting the subsidy from their taxes. Republicans and right-wing media have latched on, claiming health care reform is going to hurt American businesses. Boeing Corporation is the latest to complain. By the way, they, despite being one of the least taxed companies in the United States of America.
Well, we don't want them to stop making weapons for all these wars we need.
By the way, what they're talking about, Ivor Volsky, he called it the worst kind of taxpayer waste and the most egregious form of corporate welfare. These companies will still receive their subsidy, but they'll no longer be able to take a tax deduction as well, which is basically double dipping. So mm-hmm. They're whining that they're, you know, losing that now.
It's great hearing someone that makes weapons used in Iraq talking about taxpayer waste.
They, as I mentioned, one of the largest U.S. companies that pay the least in corporate taxes. Conservatives complain about the high 35% U.S. corporate tax rate, but because of corporate welfare, such as the prescription drug deduction, Boeing's tax rate was just 3.2% averaged over the last 4 years. Anybody else paying that?
Boeing.
Wow.
And just 0.7% averaged from 2002 to 2007.
Wow.
And Boeing's 3-year effective tax rate from 2001 to 2003 was 18.8%. Also, according to Boeing's 2009 annual report, the company paid no federal income tax in 2009 and actually received $132 million back from the IRS.
They've suffered.
Exactly.
Can you say that last...
People, have they had enough...
Can you say that last fact one more time? Because I think that's actually worth repeating. About 2009.
The company paid no federal income tax in 2009 and actually received $132 million back from the IRS.
These are weapons manufacturers we're talking about. Thank you.
In 2008, Boeing paid just $44 million in federal income tax while netting $2.7 billion in earnings.
It's one of this country's biggest companies. Mm-hmm. It needs to be contributing to the country by paying its taxes.
Yep.
That is inexcusable.
And then go after the Vatican for taxes, too.
I mean, seriously, the only place, like Fox Business, one of the only places, these people, insurance companies are getting defended, big banks. I love this. I mentioned this yesterday, I think, to Ali Velshi, but... Did you see on Fox Business? Fox basically, like, they let it all out there, basically furious at them for raising rates, right before blaming them for health care passing. It's like, no, you greedy bastards.
Yes.
You're our greedy bastards, and we love you, but why couldn't you wait it?
See Founding Fathers and Aristocracy.
As you know, a lot of WellPoint and others raised rates as much as 39%, proving our point. So on Fox Business, the WellPoint VP was on. He was appearing to talk about the impact of health reform, but the host spent a large portion of the interview skewering him for helping to pass health care reform through rate hikes. Fox Business host pointed to the hikes and whined, "You guys threw it. You know this was going to push this legislation over the top." One Fox host said, "WellPoint enjoys plenty of profits and could have held off on the hikes until maybe after the November elections for Republicans to win enough to stop reform." Stuart Varney looked at the WellPoint executive and muttered, "It was a bad PR move. You're one of the primary reasons why we got a vote in favor of health care reform."
Beautiful. Keep them fighting.
Exactly.
Keep them fighting.
Exactly.
Do you realize if we keep helping people and taxing the rich, what's going to happen? Another surplus. And that can't happen.
Exactly. We might by accident get back to Bill Clinton, the economy that he left us.
You know what? Just remember, folks, blaming Obama for this economy is like blaming your hangover on the guy making breakfast.
Dave in Phoenix, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Dave.
Well, good morning, Steph and Mooks.
Good morning.
The Final Four is this weekend in basketball, and last weekend was the Sweet 16. I've come up with my own Sweet 16 of right-wing douchebaggery.
Okay.
Here are the four brackets. In the elected official bracket, we have Sarah Palin versus Michelle Bachmann, and the winner of that gets to go up against the winner of George W. Bush versus Dick Cheney. Then we have the media division, where Rush Limbaugh faces off against Glenn Beck, And the winner of that faces the winner of Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly. Now we have the neocon division, a great matchup between Richard Perle and Paul Wolfowitz. And the winner of that faces the winner of Bill Kristol and Elliot Abrams.
That's too much douchebag.
Yeah,
for
it's
me.
The douchebags against the teabags against the hobags.
How about the religious right division? We have the Crystal Methodist, Ted Haggard versus Pat Robertson. And these two gentlemen are deceased, but that doesn't stop them from participating. Oral Roberts versus Jerry Falwell. Yes. We get down to the final four, and we have a classic matchup in one semifinal, the Holy War between the religious right and the neocons. And the winner of that plays in the title game against the winner of the media division and the elected official division. Maybe you can bring on Charlie Pierce to decide who will be the winner of this fantastic tournament.
All right, Dave. Thank you for that. It's a little prepared listener comment.
Yes, it was. But we,
speaking of which,
that.
We have to do another version of Racist or Douchebag at some point.
I think maybe next week would be the good time for Racist or Douche.
45 minutes after the hour. Right, Alex, back with the
I'll take penis, might ya.
Right back with the waning moments of Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A perpetual motion machine, endlessly satisfying every human need.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Talking to you, Dave Coulier.
Reportedly, allegedly.
No, I don't think it's alleged anymore.
Oh, really?
I think it's been confirmed, yeah.
Wow.
I would.
Remind me to take hip. Alanis Morissette to a movie sometime.
It is Stephanie Miller Show.
I think she's mellowed since this song came
Jim,
out.
You know what? Jim just decided once he stepped over the line, I think, on that tampon story, he's just stayed there.
There's
he's
no
like,
line.
What's the point? I'm too one tired line. To get back on the other side now.
That song's about Ryan Reynolds now, anyway.
All right. 50 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. We are joined, of course, by John Fugelsang.
Can I just say, he among you out there who hasn't cheated on his Oscar-winning wife with a white power tattoo model while wearing Nazi garb can cast the first stone.
Exactly.
Okay, please stop
exactly.
judging the man.
Exactly. Yeah, that, wow, that picture, have you seen it?
Oh.
When he's doing the little the fingers for the mustache.
Yeah,
and
wow.
The Kyle, yeah.
Gee, when you're trying to save your marriage to America's sweetheart, you don't want your Nazi imagery coming up. It's just, you know, they teach you that in the workshop. It's, it's pretty sad.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
You know, that's the one thing, is you got to stay away from comedy clubs, because if I hear one more hack talking about how she was blindsided, it's going to be pretty awful.
Oh, that's funny.
That's the most overplayed
the
joke. Yeah.
I think that was overplayed even before it was first said.
I think so. Indeed. That's why I'm going to see Liam Neeson release the Kraken this weekend.
What is with you and the Kraken this morning?
I'm sorry, it's just that's just the greatest euphemism for sex I've ever heard. And when you think about it, how is it possible that the 2010 Clash of the Titans has even cheesier FX than the 1982 one?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm All right, so it is
there's no naked Harry Hamlin in it either.
No.
It's a Good Friday, as John Fugelsang pointed out earlier, good for us, not for Jesus, not such a great day.
No, the most famous day in the history of the death penalty, mm-hmm. and of innocent guys sent to their death, and that's why Jesus was pretty much the biggest anti-death penalty proponent that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
And when the pro-lifers start to be against the death penalty, I'll take them a little bit seriously.
Yeah, exactly. So we were talking about, by the by, speaking of which, people that call themselves Christian, like Bill Donahue, essentially, just using his religion to primarily gay bash in this, he said this is the Catholic Church scandal is a scandal of homosexuality.
Yeah, and
not
that's
pedophilia.
That's Benedict, by the way. John Paul never pulled that. Benedict started pulling that right away, and which is kind of funny coming from a man who wears red Gucci loafers when he goes out in public. self-loathing homophobes are nothing new for the church. A lot of theologians believe that St. Paul might have been a closeted gay man, and that's why he's so accepting and forgiving and loving, except when it comes to your own unholy urges, or disobey them and fight them. So this is going to be the latest salvo in the church's suicide pact with itself, because this isn't going to solve their problem one bit, and they need to ordain women in the priesthood. It's an insult to God that that's not allowed. There's nothing in the Bible against it.
I was Googling, what's his name, Bill William Donahue, because I forgot about some of his other greatest hits, Chris. But
okay.
He has said that Hollywood is controlled by secular Jews who hate Christianity in general and Catholicism in particular, and Hollywood likes anal sex.
Well, that's wow. True, but why is it bad?
I don't know. What's his point?
Yeah. And how does he know that?
He's really insecure about his own religion, isn't he?
Well,
of course. He's thinking that it's completely under attack by everybody when...
And he seems obsessed with anal sex.
Yeah.
But see, that's the beautiful irony of this, and this is what I tell my uptight Christian friends who every, you know, at this point now, if a boy touches himself, he has shame for all time. If a priest touches a boy, blame the New York Times. And Jesus, when he was being persecuted, didn't whine a lot and play the victim. But then again, he wasn't protecting pedophiles either.
There's a priest in Italy that says it wasn't just the New York Times that's behind the attacks. It's Satan that's behind the media attacks on the Pope.
Right. And Satan had nothing to do with, you know, raping children.
And he's not just a priest. He's a noted Italian exorcist.
Oh!
Mm-hmm.
Oh!
Mamma mia.
Well,
the Italian, they're the funniest ones, too.
The noted ones?
He's the Bobby Jindal of Italy.
Yes.
Oh, okay then. Is there one of just exorcists in the phone book there, but he's the most noted one?
In Italy,
you can get
yes.
one anywhere, but if you want the best
it's
one.
It's funnier when they sound like Chico Marx while they're doing it.
The power of Christ compels you. That's no good. Hey, upstairs, you're no downstairs. What's the matter with you?
But this is why, this is the greatest embarrassment. You know, there actually were 15 apostles, folks. Jesus went everywhere with the 12 apostles and three women. But the men who wrote the Bible said, oh, they weren't apostles, they were groupies. They sold t-shirts at all the big gigs. JC,
they were chicks. We're pulling the ladder up. They're not getting in our fourth.
Final gig, Golgotha, AD 33. Catch it. You know, it's an insult to God, the homophobia and the sexism, and the church is either going to change or they're going to become a third world religion and disappear. It's your choice.
So the right, in my opinion, just appears to sort of disintegrate. Former Bush speechwriter David Frum has been unceremoniously forced out of the American Enterprise Institute, a neoconservative think tank. I know, contradiction in terms, like jumbo shrimp. I know.
Uh-huh. Holy war. Mm-hmm. Jessica Simpson music.
His dismissal resulted from criticism he directed at the Republican Party for staking a failed strategic posture of no compromise on health care. As a result, he said, it's Waterloo, all right, ours. And for that, you get thrown out. He was downgraded, and then he decided, in his position, he decided to resign. Bruce Bartlett, a former economic advisor to President Bush, suffered a similar fate as Frum. After leaving the Bush White House, he authored a book titled Imposter, How George W. Bush Bankrupted America and Betrayed the Reagan Legacy. That book led to his dismissal as a senior fellow and at some other conservative thing. Something.
No, as a junior fellow somewhere else.
He said what's really going on here is that adherence to conservative principles has been, it's out the window now. All that matters now is an absolute subservient adherence to the Republican Party line of the day.
Frum said, we work for Fox now. Fox doesn't work for us. We work for them. And these folks aren't conservatives. You can't spend money like Courtney Love in Amsterdam and call yourself a conservative anymore. Yeah. And MSNBC has more conservatives than Fox, because they at least have two real ones. Fox is all neocons.
Yeah, I know. And so, meanwhile, John McCain keeps running to the right, and yet again, no one ever challenges him on things that are just completely untrue. At a town hall meeting, he talked about the war in Iraq, celebrating the fact that there's not been a single American service member killed or wounded.
What?
In Iraq. He's talking about in the last month. In the past 3 months.
Yeah.
In fact, 12 U.S. service members have died in Iraq in 2010 of his March 13th, and at least 93 have been wounded. Since that time, there have been four more deaths and six more people wounded. So he was basically saying since the beginning of the year, there's not been a single...
Well, what you don't understand, because you hate freedom, is that liberals lie, conservatives misspeak, okay? And I hope you can get that down. Like when Giuliani said we were never attacked by terrorists under Bush...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, same thing.
Oh, yeah. Apparently, Rush, I can't remember what it was, he said the other day. He said, I was not wrong. My friends, I was simply misinformed.
Mm-hmm.
That's entirely different, I guess, in right-wing world.
Yes. He's,
yeah. All right. As is the, you know, the, what do you call it, crew has been looking into those there Hannity concerts, by the way.
Yes.
Ka-ching, ka-ching.
Yes, because he promotes that all of the proceeds will be donated to a scholarship fund for the children of those killed or wounded in war. Cruz says Hannity promoted the concerts on his show, making statements such as every penny, 100% of the donations are applied to the scholarship fund. He said that at the radio event.
Yes,
I saw him
did.
That live a couple weeks ago. According to Cruz, though, the amounts promoted just don't add up to the amounts donated. Apparently, there's some private jets and other
Math
things
has
in
a
there.
Liberal bias.
Yeah, so Sean feels really bad. He's now going to have the entire charity managed by Wyclef Jean. So that shouldn't happen anymore.
No.
Perfect. All right, that's it for us. I'd like to thank executive producer, engineer, boy toy, Chris LeBoy, voice deity, Jim Ward. Oh, Miranda Moreno, it's her last day.
Yeah.
Filling in for
Foxy.
Rebecca Taylor, who will be back on Monday. Thank you, Miranda.
Oh, we love you, Miranda.
We love you. Thank you, John Fugelsang.
I'm on Twitter. Thank you, Miranda. See you next week, doll.
All right. See you Monday on The Stephanie Miller Show.